Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in our man Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Mike, I am not trying to basically shift the focus away from Georgia, but I know we didn't have you on last week, but I have got to get your perspective from having worked in Knoxville and what is going on up in Vol Nation. What is your perspective or what you going on up there? I mean, it is just unbelievable. And again, losing to BYU at home is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, to an extent, don't get me wrong. I know they should have won the game, but the Georgia State catastrophe last Saturday. But what is your perspective on Tennessee football right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, program trying to find itself. You know, it's really been trying to find itself since 2007. When they played the last time they played in the SEC championship game, it's been 12 years, and you know, less than a year. The year they were firing, you know, Philip Fulmer. You know, they thought that anybody could coach there and anybody could win there, and actually thought they had Bill Cowher lined up as their next head coach. And then Bill Cowher backed out, and so Lane Kiffin came in. He was the default, and in 1 year, he put that program under an NCAA investigation that lingered for about 3.5 years that clouded Derek Dooley's entire tenure. He had a real struggle trying to recruit there because of the NCAA investigation that was going on from Kiffin's year there because of some of the kids that Kiffin brought into the program. And Dooley just, he couldn't get it turned around fast enough. And you know, Butch Jones weathered it and improved Tennessee year to year, got ranked in the top 10 after that win at Georgia in 2016, but the injuries hit hard. The administration, when he wanted to replace some coaches, would not let him spend on the coaches that he wanted to get. And so he had a promotion from within. And, you know, they lost a heartbreaker at Florida in 2017, and things went downhill. And then, of course, the coaching search was a fiasco with John Curry. And that led to him being overthrown by Philip Fulmer to become the AD. And then Fulmer hired Jeremy Pruitt instead of Mel Tucker, and they're off to a bad start. I don't think they have good quarterback play. I think it's only marginal. They're not good at the line of scrimmage, and there's high expectations every year at a place where the talent does not match the expectations. And so things have gotten off to a rocky start this year. They've got, Tennessee Chattanooga this weekend. And then they've got a pretty tough stretch. I think Georgia's on deck for them coming up, and Alabama, South Carolina. I mean, Tennessee could start 1-6, 1-7. Yeah. And then you've got to wonder if Jeremy Pruitt can get through the season, or if Philip Fulmer will be back on the sideline.
And I should have, you covered the Vols from win to win, from
98 to 2012.
Okay, yeah. So you were there for like 15 years. And how much is the Phil Fulmer shadow, though, hanging over everything?
Well, maybe not as much as you'd think, because,
really?
You know, a lot of fans, you know, it's very comparable to Mark Richt in a sense that, you know, Fulmer was a guy that averaged 9 or 10 wins a year. Now, he did win a national championship. You know, Mark Richt never did. But if you look at his career and Mark Richt's career, they're very comparable in terms of their one-loss record. Of course, neither one of those coaches ran afoul of the NCAA with any major violations. Both pretty respectable men that never did anything off the field to embarrass their schools or their families. So just Tennessee wasn't able to find their Kirby Smart. You know, they made their next hire, and it was Lane Kiffin. It wasn't Kirby Smart, and there's a really big difference between those two guys.
Talking with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
I want to get to Georgia, Mike, but one just very quick question, because you just mentioned it. Is there a greater than 0% chance that Philip Fulmer actually could if things really do go sour like we think they might, coach on the sidelines again? Or is that just a pipe dream for Tennessee fans?
Well, I mean, not all Tennessee fans want that.
Right.
But a lot of them do, and I don't know why it would be a pipe dream. I mean, he's 1 year older than Nick Saban, and he's younger than Mac Brown. And, you know, I mean, and Coach Fulmer is a guy that knows how to manage staffs. And the biggest and the best thing that Tennessee has going right now that they didn't have going, what correlated with all those issues, with all those coaching problems, and I say this because I think this is something Georgia people really, really take for granted here. It's amazing to hear some of the complaints. The administration at Tennessee was awful. And there's awful and then there's really awful. I mean, you look at Tennessee and the buyout money and the debt that they're in, it just really bad leadership in the president's office. I think they went through like four presidents in 6 years, you know, three ADs and less than, it's just ridiculously poor leadership. Whereas when I look at Georgia and I see the stability of the Georgia leadership and I see how smart they've been with their spending, and you know, they're not up to their ears in spend. They're not up to their ears in debt at Georgia. They've made smart decisions. They've kept the program in the black. The school's reputation has stayed strong. They haven't had some of the embarrassing incidents on their campus that you know, Tennessee's had because of poor leadership. So, you know, I know fans complain because, you know, this tennis building didn't get built on time, or maybe, you know, you were, you know, a step behind another program with an indoor facility, but don't have nearly the issues in the administration that Tennessee has. And the relationship between the athletic director and the coach here, you know, really couldn't be much better. And that's just not a given. A lot of people just take that kind of stuff for granted. They really shouldn't, because that's a big separator of successful athletic programs and programs that go astray, like Tennessee is having that administration working with your athletic department.
Talking with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Thanks for letting us take a little detour there into Tennessee, because I knew you had some good perspective on that. What were your thoughts from Saturday as far as, you know, Georgia and Murray State, the score ended up being, I guess, kind of like we thought it would be? Saw a lot of people play, but what did you take away from Saturday?
Yeah, it was fun, you know. I mean, it was fun to see a lot of the different guys emerge. It was fun to see George Pickens make his first catch, and what a first catch that snag was. And then we see him make a diving catch and kind of whets the appetite for more George Pickens coming this season. He's obviously a dynamic player that, you know, that I think is probably the best receiver on the team and maybe the best freshman receiver in the country. You know, he's a really special guy. It'll be interesting to see how Georgia grows him. He's got to mature. He had a flag for a personal foul, but he's got to mature. He's got to learn more of the playbook. And it's really going to be a challenge for Kirby Smart's staff if they can make this young guy productive and keep him between the lines because he's an incredible talent. I got to see Dominic Blaylock, you know, make his first catch. Got to see Kenny McIntosh get his first carry. Saw a lot of the young guys play. And all the while, and I know this isn't, you know, nobody really likes to hear this, but as a sports writer, I mean, I was impressed with Murray State.
Yeah.
That crazy coach came in talking about, you know, playing harder than Georgia and playing 60 minutes. And I said, man, this guy's mouth's overloading his tail. And you know what? They backed it up. They did play Georgia even 7-7 in the first quarter. And they did win the third quarter 10-7. So, you know, Kirby's got some tape to show his guys. So look, guys, you know, you ain't there yet, you know, and Georgia does need to – Georgia, the thing that's missing, you didn't ask, but I'm telling you, they don't got the killer instinct yet. I just – this team, even at Vanderbilt and against Murray, I just don't see a team. Now, maybe that's by design. Maybe, you know, maybe they, you know, keep the – you know, don't let the lion out of the cage until Alabama, because certainly when they play Alabama, they've certainly taken the fight to Alabama 2 years in a row. But just real workmanlike. And like I said, maybe that's by design. I don't know if you want to play your best football against Vanderbilt or your most emotional football against Vanderbilt, Murray State, or Arkansas State this week. Maybe we'll see it against Notre Dame. I'm looking for that edge, for Georgia to have that edge, and I haven't seen it quite yet.
You mentioned George Pickens. There's a great even Kirby Smart talked about it. You wrote about it, about his blocking downfield was pretty good on Saturday. Also, there's a clip I've seen. Zamir White picked up a pass block. A great play by him. That's a big important part of playing football in the SEC is skill position players blocking. Is this something that, you know, Georgia really just its freshmen seem to be buying into? Is if you're going to play SEC football, you're going to have to block.
Well, you will at Georgia. I mean, Kirby's, you know, it's funny. And, you know, Eli Wolf is another guy I don't think we should overlook. I just posted a story on him. I mean, he's already got 5 catches. And, you know, I mean, he's really stepped up. And we all thought, you know, Isaac Naughty would, you know, and Isaac was a big loss. But I think Eli Wolf might be a better, might actually be a step up. I mean, Eli's a 4-5 guy, and Isaac was a 4-8 guy. And Eli's doing some things getting open that, you know, could really cause problems for teams down the road. So I think that's been another really exciting addition. And Eli, you know, like George, and you know, he kind of set himself up. I mean, he lined up at fullback, and he took 2 Vanderbilt players out on Brian Herring's 1-yard touchdown run at Vandy, and then he had another block in the open field where, you know, he kept this guy tied up, and James Cook had about 18-yard run, and, you know, Eli kept this guy tied up. And so, yeah, I mean, Kirby gets excited about that stuff. I've never heard a coach that vocalizes it more. You know, I've been places, and every now and then a coach say, oh, yeah, he's a good blocker. But Kirby will tell you, when you ask him about, you know, DeAndre Swift's 42-yard run, or, you know, he'll be saying, well, guys, what you really need to do is go back and, you know, look at the block that Charlie Warner laid, or, you know, look at the job that Tyler Simmons did on the outside. He recognizes that, because without those blocks, you know, that 42-yard run is a 9-yard run. Or that, you know, 76-yard end around is a 12-yard gain. So Kirby knows that better than anybody. I think there's a reason that you see a lot of former safeties and DB coaches or former DBs that are coaching football, because they've got a complete perspective of football from their vantage point. And Kirby understands the value of downfield blocking, because he's been that guy trying to make that stop that couldn't get around that feisty receiver. So if anybody understands the value of downfield blocking, it's Kirby. And as we've talked about before, you know, Georgia's trying to win a championship here. This isn't about trying to win 8 or 9 games or be pretty good and go to Jacksonville for a party once a year. This is about trying to win a national championship and go undefeated. And there's very little margin for error if you're going to be that type of club.
Before we let you go, Mike, Isaiah Wilson got hurt in practice last week. And I guess, Kirby, you hopefully will update us a little bit more today. Anything else on the injury front to throw out there? I know that's Isaiah Wilson's the big one. Anything else?
Yeah, no, I mean, I know Kirby said Tyler Simmons was in and out of the injury tent and had x-rays and they were negative. I would just say this, that, you know, Cade Mace has really emerged. Now, Andrew Thomas will probably be the first Georgia offensive lineman drafted and could be a top 5 pick. He could be the Outland Trophy winner at left tackle. So I want to be very clear that Andrew Thomas is an amazing football player. But I'm not sure there's not a more valuable player than Cade Mace right now. And, you know, he played 3 positions. You know, here's a guy that, you know, plays right guard, right tackle, left tackle. He's been taking snaps. And for a sophomore to do that at the level that Cade Mace plays at, I mean, he's really the glue that's held that great wall together. I mean, Jamari Salyer started the game, and, you know, he just got back from injury Tuesday. So I don't know where his conditioning was at. But Cade had to slide out there to right tackle. And, you know, a guy that's really just getting it done, really impressing. And, you know, you talked about Tennessee. We started it there. I guess we'll end it there. Just think, Tennessee had Cade Mace committed for over a year, I believe. And they also had that Nebraska quarterback, Adrian Martinez, committed. Mm-hmm. They had the #1 class in the SEC going into the 2017 season. So you ask what went wrong, and what went wrong was recruiting. And there's a value to that. So when Kirby Smart talks about recruiting, and when you hear about an $80 million football building, and when you hear about wanting a home and home, it's about recruiting. Because if you don't get players, if you don't get the Cade Mazes of the world, things can go bad real fast. And just think about it. I just want you to think about that, that halfway through the 2016 season, Tennessee was a top 10 football team, and they had the #1 ranked class in the SEC going into 2017, coming off a 9-win season. So things can go bad fast. So when you start to grouse about, you know, your AD didn't build a tennis building, your coach wants a home and home, just remember that margin for you.
Mike, great stuff as always. Enjoy those Monday chats. Have a great week, and we'll catch you again next week.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.